The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, you'll live for a very long time as an ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" So if you die without believing, your spirit will have nowhere to go. It will just stay with your body. And if your body ends up in a coffin underground, you're going to be conscious in an underground for a very long time. So not a great idea to not be a believer. If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said regarding such people, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" So if you're an unbeliever or a nominal believer, you might want to think about doing something different. All of this is in the context that the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me." On the other hand, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. That's what we were created to do. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and permanent close proximity to the Creator and Yeshua. Yeshua you may know as Jesus, incorrect name. True name is Yeshua. Tonight we're going to talk about the separation of man and woman in sexual union. The last three programs we talked about various facets of the sexual relationship between man and woman. Now we're going to look at what happens when it falls apart and they go in separate ways. Overview of tonight's program. The broadcast looks at the spiritual separation of a man and woman who've had a sexual union. It is noted that most of what is discussed here also applies between men with men or humans with animals. It is stressed that a single act of intercourse will initiate all of these factors, necessitating all the cleansing processes and prayers that are discussed, if that intercourse was not permitted in the court of heaven. It is pointed out that a divorce in the court of heaven is required for many of these prayers to take effect. Covenant terms are again discussed together with the concept of sloppy covenant terms. The cutting of soul ties or friendship ties and memories is discussed. Dealing with sexual attraction, desire, and chemistry is presented. The prayer for cutting spirit-to-spirit adhesion is given. Various cleansing processes and prayers are shared. And then we will examine some questions relating to your relationship with your mighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering. I was a strategic management consultant in South Africa for about 25 years. And I've been a business executive and consultant in the United Kingdom for the last 6 years. I have 27 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with Him on the 12th of March, 1993, when He spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that He was real. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, and physical books. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. Questions from last week's program. Anne asked, why do we lose the ability to just do things like we did as kids? And basically, if you think of your memory and your mind as a sort of empty computer disk when you start life, it progressively gets filled up with learnings and habits and beliefs about ourselves and so forth, with the result that as you get older, you tend to become less flexible, more set in your ways. And I think that's really the answer to your question, I hope. Jasper asked, if we collect all these little demons, what do they do once they're on another? What happens is, let's say a man with a spirit of pride has intercourse with a woman who doesn't have a spirit of pride. What happens is that one of the satanic messengers that's looking over those people will go off and find a demon of pride. They're pretty much stored up already for this sort of deployment, and bring that demon and put it on the woman. So then the woman will have pride as well. It's nothing particularly dramatic. Just whatever demons a person has will affect their behavior, and depending on how committed they are to the Almighty, etc., they'll get more powerful or less powerful demons. Missy says, are you saying a woman should bow down to a man? Missy, I'm not saying that a woman should bow down to a man. I certainly didn't use that language. I did say that it's written that a woman should submit to a man. Now, my understanding of submit, I was a regimental commander in part-time forces in South Africa with a rank of lieutenant colonel. I got to become a commanding officer because I submitted to my commanders when I was a more junior rank. So submission is about somebody agreeing to work in partnership with somebody and accepting the leadership of somebody. There has to be a single person setting the direction. The way Father has appointed it is that the man should do that. It is entirely possible before you enter into covenant to covenant that the woman should lead. Just by way of example, I'm in covenant with a woman that we're also in business, and I accept that she leads the business. Kathy asked, how are we to know what the intention for us is here? Kathy, simplistically, the intention is that you should become a friend of the Almighty, which is the subject of this program. Within that parameter, it's up to you to chart your course with the guidance of the Father. And that's about praying the prayers that I've spoken about in previous editions of this program. Mari asked, how can we know the difference between love and lust? Well, frankly, if you fall in love or think you're falling in love with somebody who's not eligible to marry you, that's probably lust. Lust is looking at somebody you see on the street and wanting to have sex with them, or looking at a picture in a video or magazine or whatever. Anne asks, how do we know where we stand with the Creator at this time? Anne, The answer to that is to get close enough to him so that he can tell you. If you can't hear his voice so that he can tell you where you stand with him, you're not very close to him. If you want to know where you stand with him, do the fasting, etc., that I spoke about a few months ago, and work on getting close to him. Look at the article, Seven Components of Drawing Close to the Almighty, which is on the website. There's a main web menu item for that. Grace asked, how are we to know what he's saying back to us? Grace, in the early days, it's difficult. If you make the effort that I've just mentioned to Anne, you will come to a place where you hear his voice, and then you will know what he's saying to you. So we're going into tonight the opposite side of what we spoke about the last 3 weeks, the separation of man and woman and sexual union, or if you like, divorce. In the last three broadcasts, I've discussed all the spiritual connections that occur when a man and woman enter into a sexual relationship. These apply whether the relationship is a formal marriage or simply a sexual relationship, ranging from a casual one-night stand to a long-term live-in relationship, which is effectively marriage in Yah's sight, Yah being the Almighty, provided that the woman is in a position to enter a covenant relationship because she is free of all ties to any men in her past. All of the items discussed come into effect anyway, whether she is free to enter into covenant or not. But if she is not free to covenant, curses will come into effect as well, which will require repentance before prayers to cut the curses are offered. Some of the other consequences of such a relationship will necessarily be of effect. In listening to what follows, it is desirable to have listened to the previous broadcasts first in order to understand how these things come into effect, but you'll be able to make out what this is about even if you didn't hear the previous broadcast. Note that all of what is presented here applies between two men, and most of this applies in the case of an animal. In particular, it is vital to understand that a single act of sexual intercourse with orgasm by only one of the parties, but particularly ejaculation in the vagina of the female by the male, will bring virtually all of these factors into existence. The spiritual state change is instantaneous at orgasm, and therefore most, if not all, of the prayers below are required. To recap, a woman is legally in covenant union marriage before the court of heaven, if she was truly a virgin at the time of consummation, by which I mean first penetration with male ejaculation, or a true widow, or truly separated or divorced in the court of heaven. Under any other circumstances, the union was harlotry and must be repented of. Pray, Father Yah, I come to you in the name of Yeshua, Jesus, incorrect name, and I confess my sin of adultery and harlotry. I repent and I ask you to forgive me and to lead me in cutting off all consequences of my sin. In particular, I ask you to cut off all curses that have come into play as a consequence of my adultery. If you have a covenant relationship that is legal in the sight of the court of heaven, that is, the woman was a true virgin, true widow, or truly divorced, then you need to establish whether there is a legal basis for termination of the covenant, in other words, divorce. In general, such a termination will not be given lightly, and there will have to be clear-cut breach of the terms of the covenant, either Yah's default covenant terms or the terms that were verbally agreed or agreed in writing before consummation. Once consummation with male ejaculation in the vagina has taken place, promises made after that point are not marriage covenant promises, and breaking of such promises does not constitute a basis for divorce. Where breach does occur, Yah requires that we repeatedly notify the other party of breach and that we do everything we reasonably can to do to work with them to remedy the breach. In general, a minimum of 3 notifications of breach are required, and wherever possible, these notifications should be in writing with clear statement of intention to divorce if the situation is not remedied. Note that a divorce in a human court carries no weight in the court of heaven. The court of heaven has its own legal protocols and its own rules in terms of when a judgment for divorce will be handed down and how it will be executed. However, a woman who is legally married is not fully divorced in the court of heaven till the legal divorce is granted. It is up to any individual seeking divorce in the court of heaven to satisfy themselves that they've been granted that divorce by the court before their action divorce in the earthly realm. In some cases, such as the woman going with another man, the divorce is relatively clear-cut, although even then, there should be formal calling to repentance and calling to return to the marital bed. In other cases, where there were terms to the marriage agreement that had been broken, in the opinion of one of the parties, they must petition Yah for clear guidance and clear signs until they are entirely satisfied that Yah has granted the divorce. Note that if you proceed with a worldly divorce without the consent of the court of heaven, you are guilty of a grievous sin, and that is in itself a form of adultery, spiritual treachery, as expounded by Yeshua. Folks, it's really important to understand the reality of the court of heaven. Yah sits on a throne of judgment. Yeshua is our advocate. He pleads for mercy and grace for young believers. Satan, or the satanic realm, is the prosecutor, the accuser. If we have sin, the court of heaven will judge us. If we petition the court of heaven for a divorce, the court of heaven will only give a divorce if we satisfy the requirements that I'm talking about. It is important to understand that the word translated adultery in the English is porneia in the Greek, as in pornography, and corresponds to fornication, which is effectively spiritual treachery. So divorce can be granted on the grounds of spiritual treachery or betrayal, not only sexual unfaithfulness by the woman. A fundamental breach of the marital contract constitutes porneia or treachery. In seeking guidance from Yah with regard to the possibility of divorce, it is vital to come to him with a correct heart attitude and be willing to be corrected and told to work harder at resolving the problem. It is also important to seek clear confirmation. The nature of this will depend greatly on the point at which you are in your relationship with him. It's really important to understand, folks, as a general fundamental principle, when a man and woman have covenanted together, Yah intends that to be for life. That said, it's important to understand that if one of the parties is an unbeliever, then there's a process whereby that party should be given an opportunity to believe, but thereafter the court of heaven will definitely grant a divorce. Yah does not want his believing people joined to unbelievers. When it comes to other things, breach of covenant terms, etc., you need to be very, very clear. You need to pray effectively, you need to seek signs, and really make sure that you know what you're doing before you break a relationship. If you're a young believer with very little relationship with the Creator, you can ask for repeated signs and guidance, whereas if you've been walking with Him for years, know His ways and know His voice, you will be expected to hear clearly and exercise your own discretion in reaching a decision. Signs are given primarily for the less mature or for the mature when making radical changes in direction. Refer to the article Essential Principles in Seeking a Valid Sign from the Almighty on the website. A suitable prayer would be, Father Yah, I come to you in the name of Yahushua. It seems to me that my relationship with so-and-so has fundamentally broken down and that they have fundamentally broken covenant with me on the following grounds. List your complaints. I believe that this constitutes a basis for divorce, but I do not want a divorce if it is against your will. Accordingly, I ask you for clear signs that you agree that the relationship is fundamentally broken down and that you will grant me a divorce in the court of heaven. Pray whatever else you might have on your heart. Important to understand, the single most likely basis for a divorce is a fundamental breach of a key covenant term. If you have a clear clearly defined covenant agreement, then you have a basis when the other party breaks that agreement, in your opinion, to go for divorce. If you do not have a clear covenant agreement, if you just got into bed together one night and consummated, then whatever you'd agreed to or not agreed to or discussed or not discussed at the time of consummation will become your marriage contract. Note that if you have a sloppy covenant or no covenant agreement at all, you have a very limited basis for divorce. By no covenant agreement, I mean that you met, had sex, and did not have any discussion about a long-term relationship or terms. The covenant that came into effect at the moment that he ejaculated in her vagina is therefore exclusively based on your standard covenant terms, which are: woman, you are to be a helpmeet, that is, a helper, meet, suitable, conformed to your man. Man, you are to be head and to cover your woman. Man, love your woman as Yahushua did, and he gave his life for the body of believers. Even if she beats you, even if she nails you to a stake, even if she insults you and abuses you. Woman, be subject to your man in everything, as Yeshua was subject to the authorities in his time, who falsely accused him, beat him, and put him to death. Man, teach your woman at home. Woman, engage in commerce and industry together with your man or alongside your man or in conjunction with your man to the mutual benefit of your house. These are not things that I've invented. If you go and study your Bible, you'll find them there. You may not agree with those terms, but if you had sex without other terms, that's what you've got. If you're not currently in covenant but are considering going into covenant, then sit down together or separately and then together and agree exactly what it is you're agreeing to. You don't have to agree to any of what I've just said to you. You can contract out of all of it. So if you want the woman to be the head of the man, that's your prerogative. But you need to both agree for that before you covenant, you consummate. These terms are subject to variation if you have a formal agreement. Such a formal agreement can totally reverse the standards of Yah's covenant, make the man subject to the woman if that is what you choose, or make neither subject to the other or anything else that takes your fancy. Know only that those terms, whatever you agree, will form the basis of any pleading for divorce in the court of heaven. So be willing to stand by them. By sloppy terms, I mean the pretty words that many couples concoct for their wedding day, sometimes based on nice words from their shepherd or pastor, sometimes from some book they've read or a nice pretty sounding email someone sent them. Whatever you recited in church or in front of the magistrate, subject only to the man not having ejaculated in the woman's vagina prior to that moment, will be binding in the court of heaven. Such sloppy vows can totally nullify Yah's default terms and create a situation in which it is almost impossible for the court of heaven to find grounds for divorce. In such cases, you can only appeal for mercy or live the rest of your life in bondage to your sloppy promises. Folks, this is so, so important. Yah created us to be covenant beings. He created us to live according to agreements. So important. The preferred state of affairs is that you clearly discuss the terms of your covenant well before you consummate. Preferably put them in writing, give both parties time to consider them and discuss them, and ensure that there is formal acceptance of those terms prior to consummation. In that case, whatever documents, be they emails, mobile phone text messages, or formal written documents, or simply explicitly discussed terms that were accepted prior to consummation, they will form the basis of any petition for divorce, whether the acceptance was verbal or written. Remember that all words are recorded in the court of heaven. And whether you remember what you said or did or not, the court has total recall of every single word you spoke and wrote and will hold you accountable. Remember that it is written, by your words you shall be judged. Such a formal agreement may open up broader terms for divorce. The following sections discuss how to deal with the spiritual components that come into being in a sexual union between a man and a woman, as discussed in the previous broadcasts. As I say, most of this applies equally in a case of two men or two women, or a man with an animal or a woman with an animal. In the latter case, some of the things like vows obviously don't apply, but the rest of the things do. So important to understand how powerful sexual union is. It's not dirty, it's not sordid, it is the absolute peak of what Yah created for man and woman to enjoy. Let's look at soul ties or friendship ties and memories. Soul ties can be cut by a simple prayer. Father Yah, I come to you in the name of Yahshua, and I ask you to cut all soul ties that exist between me and name the other person. And I ask you to seal and heal all points of spiritual connection. Technically, you could pray, I speak to all soul ties between me and name the person, and I sever them now in the name of Yahshua. And I speak to all points of spiritual connection and tell you to be sealed and healed in the name of Yeshua. Some people would prefer that second wording. I prefer the first. I prefer to ask Yah matters such as this and to ask him humbly so that he has the latitude to refuse the request. Soul ties are basically straightforward. Memories are a different matter. They comprise a chemical pattern imprinted in your brain and a corresponding pattern in your spirit. Folks, it's important to understand that your spirit has full consciousness, full recall when it is removed from your body. So when you die and your spirit leaves your body, you remember everything. You know the people who are around you. You take that with you if you go to heaven. You take that with you if you stay on the corpse and end up in your coffin or in the crematorium oven or wherever, or if you put on somebody else to haunt them. It's so important to be careful about the memories that you put in place, the things that you do. You can try and force yourself to forget memories in your own strength, but that will likely result in depression, forgetfulness, and other negative consequences. Alternatively, you can pray, Father Yah, I ask you in the name of Yeshua to seal up all memories that I have with regard to name the person. You will still have to work at it. Memories will tend to surface at times. Demons and satanic messengers will bring back memories to try and distract you and trip you up, etc. Anytime that happens, pray the prayer that I've just given you again, and shift gear to think about other things, trusting that Yah has heard your prayer. One of the sad things about sexual promiscuity is that you build up memories that are going to be with you for the rest of your life. The more promiscuous you are, the more one-night stands you have, the more wild flings that you have, the more those things are going to follow you around for the rest of your life. And if you come to be a strong believer, you're going to battle with that stuff. These are things that we need to be teaching our children. They need to understand how powerful sexual intercourse is. They need to understand how important it is. When they get to puberty and they start having sexual feelings, you need to educate them. You need to help them to find ways of coping without going out there and having sex. You need to help them to marry at an early age if necessary. It is far better to marry at an early age than to go and fornicate and engage in one-night stands and so forth. So important to understand how powerful this is. Let's look at sexual attraction or desire or chemistry. Sexual attraction and desire may remain even after the relationship is irrevocably broken down as a consequence of broken covenant terms. It will certainly remain strong until most of the items covered in this teaching have been dealt with. So you might pray about this early on, but will probably have to pray it at intervals as you work through the following prayers. And even after you've worked through everything, you may need to pray again from time to time, much in the same way as dealing with memories. You can pray, Father Yah, I ask you in the name of Yeshua to cut off all sexual attraction and desire between me and name the other person. I ask you also to seal up all sexual memories and attraction that cannot be cut off, so that I will no longer think of, name the person sexually, and no longer desire them. There are quite a few things like love, as we spoke about last week, which you cannot just summarily dispose of. You can ask Father to help you to seal it up. You will need to cooperate with him, which means that if you start having thoughts or start having feelings, that you immediately resist them, put them back in the box, close the lid, and focus on other things. There's a huge in serving Father, which is about self-discipline. It's about noticing when you're going in direction and turning around, repenting and turning around. Repent means to turn around. So if you've got into some sin or you've got into some error or you're battling with memories or whatever, as soon as you notice it, say, Father, I really repent. I ask you to forgive me. I've said that I don't want to go down that road again. Please help me. And I turn around and I walk the other way. Note that having prayed such prayers, it is advisable to avoid contact with that person if at all possible. At some level, the underlying desire will tend to draw you back together. Note that sexual desire, sexual attraction, and sexual chemistry can get one into a lot of trouble. It is quite possible to develop sexual desire for someone who is entirely unsuitable as a covenant partner. You can pray, Father, in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to close down my sexual desire until it is time to consummate a covenant with the person you choose for me, and we have taken all necessary measures to ensure that we are fully conversant with the expectations of the other person, and they have done the same, and that we are certain that it is the right time in your sight for consummation to occur. Refer to points later in the series. If you're a woman serving Yah, finding a man is very difficult. There's 7 times more women than men in the body of true believers. So the vast majority of women are not going to find a believing man, and they certainly shouldn't join themselves to an unbelieving man. If you're a man, there's a lot of women out there, but you still need to be careful. There are a lot of women who are flaky and really not suitable. Marriage, whatever you want to call it, is not about having sex first and foremost. It is about a careful, rational, well thought out business decision. This is the person I want to spend the rest of my life with. We have agreed exactly what the basis of that is going to look like. We've either agreed Yah's covenant terms or we've agreed other covenant terms. And therefore, we now consummate. And then you learn to make love really, really considerately well, give pleasure, etc. Let's talk about spirit-to-spirit adhesion. Spirit-to-spirit adhesion can be cut by praying, Father Yah, I ask you in the name of Yeshua to cut off all spirit-to-spirit connection between myself and name the person. As a further measure, I recommend that at the right time, after you've worked through this entire teaching for the first time, and after you are no longer in constant contact with the person, as in they're no longer living in the same dwelling as you, if at all possible, that you symbolically shave your entire body to cut off all spiritual connections. This is a powerful spiritual prophetic act in any case for general spiritual cleansing, even when it is not associated with divorce. Take a safety razor. You do not need to physically shave. Simply move the razor lightly over your entire body and pray as you do so, Father Yah, as I pass this razor over my body, I pray that you will cut off all spiritual ties that are not your will and cleanse me of all spiritual contamination that has resulted from evidence in my life to events in my life to date. I ask you to leave intact only those spiritual elements that are according to your will and pleasing in your sight. Pray appropriately with regard to each part of your body and shave systematically. Somebody asked me the other day why I talk so much about immersion, anointing, etc. Folks, these are powerful, symbolic, spiritual acts. If they're done for the right reasons and under the guidance of the Spirit of Yah, they can have dramatic effects, as we'll see in a minute. You might do this in conjunction with a seven-day fast. Shave on the first day at the start and again at the end of the fast. See the material on cleansing on the website, and particularly the document on seven components of drawing close to the Almighty. It's also a web page. If you've come out of Satanism or been in contact with somebody who's involved in Satanism, this prayer and symbolic action becomes much more important. In some cases, you might physically shave most or all of your body. In general, I would recommend that you do not shave your head and your eyebrows. In the case of a woman, definitely do not shave your head, because it is written that the hair of the woman is her crown and glory. But in the case of a man, it is quite customary for him to shave his head as an act of penance to seek cleansing. It depends on how serious you are about getting cleansed of all spiritual defilement. Folks, it's so important to understand. There are very few people on this planet today who are anywhere close to being in right standing with Father. And most of them are contaminated and full of error. If you seriously want to get close to Him, you need to make a quality decision. You need to clean up your act. And I sincerely believe that the rituals and practices that I'm advocating will help you to do that. The prayers that I'm advocating will help you to do that. This is not a trivial thing. If you want to sit on a high throne with great esteem and authority and great glory for eternity, you really are going to have to work at it in this life. If you have pins and other satanic objects or satanic tattoos, or even for that matter, any tattoos, I strongly recommend that you do these rituals, irrespective of your situation with a man or woman in your life, with regard to all areas of your body, where there are pins, tattoos, or other similar demonic objects. Pray, Father Yah, I come to you in the name of Yeshua, and I ask you to cut off all assignments, associations, and connections associated with these pins, tattoos, etc., as I pass this razor over them. Pray in more detail as appropriate to each tattoo, each area of pin embedment, and so forth. Following this, you might immerse three times totally, but I would recommend that you work through all the items in this document before you do this, or do it several times. I've immersed three times, done a triple immersion, I don't know, six, seven, eight times in my life. It's powerful. In considering triple immersion, it is important to recognize that immersion is a routine rite prescribed repeatedly in Leviticus. Bathe equals immersion in a body of clean water. And that in the so-called New Testament, there are two immersions. The immersions of Yehuchanan, John the Immerser, John the Baptist, following repentance from sin, and the immersion administered by Saul, Paul, and others associated with entry into the kingdom, an immersion in the Spirit of Yah, evidenced by the gift of speaking in unknown tongues in several instances. There are so many things that people who get involved with the satanic do that have to be unscrambled if you come out of that. We're not really talking about that tonight. We're talking about relationships between men and women. I just thought it was worth mentioning these. There are other documents on the ETR website which discuss triple immersion in more detail. It was given to me by Jan about 2002, and every time I've used it, there have been powerful consequences. You can immerse with someone with the appropriate anointing to pray with you and immerse you, or you can immerse with you, or you can do it on your own. You can immerse in a bathtub, but strictly speaking, you should immerse in a body of water of sufficient extent that you can immerse your body, your entire body at once, so swimming pool, river, similar. The first immersion is for cleansing from sin. Pray, Father Yah, in the name of Yeshua, I ask you that as I go under the water, that you cleanse me from the consequences of all my sin and wash away all contamination. Hold your nose and submerge completely. Take your time. Some people actually feel a spiritual cleansing taking place when they do this. Others experience other things. I once had a large demonic sphinx fly off the property at the end of the swimming pool as four of us immersed together. The second immersion is for a deeper infilling of your spirit, assuming you've had an infilling previously. Else this can be done for a first infilling. Pray, Father Yah, in the name of Yeshua, I ask that as I go under the water for the second time, you will fill me with your spirit. If you've never been filled with the spirit, or fill me with your spirit to an even greater extent, or fill me again if you're already spirit-filled. I once did this with a Satanist killer that Yah had just used me to bring to repentance, and he said afterwards that despite the fact that it was a freezing cold day and the swimming pool was bitterly cold, he felt an amazing warmth spread over his entire body when he went under the water for the second time. The third immersion is to draw you deeper into the kingdom of Yah. Pray, Father Yah, in the name of Yeshua, I ask it as I go under the water for the third time, that you will immerse me deeper into your kingdom. When I immersed the Satanist I mentioned above for the third time, he had a vision of the gates of heaven opening for him. When I did this myself for the first time with a group of three others, Yeshua appeared to us in the spirit and walked down into the water to join us with his arms outstretched towards us. Folks, part of what I'm saying to you is divorce is a big deal. You really, really need to clean up on so many fronts. Because Father didn't design us to do this. He designed us to be faithful to one another, to stay with one another for our entire lives. So dealing with divorce, apart from the psychological and emotional and the child custody and the legal and the money and all the stuff that the world gets bogged down in, there are all these spiritual factors, and next week I will discuss these in even more detail, or further factors. I'd like to break today. I'm running out of time. And I'd like to ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator right now? Please critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? Folks, that last one is not an easy one. There are very few friends on the earth today. You've got to really, really work at it. And that means you've got to really clean up. Take the document on seven components of drawing close and put it into practice. And if you do that energetically for a couple of years, you will probably come to a place where he calls you his friend. But you've got to be doing something for him. This is not a passive role. It's a really active seeking to please him, seeking to do his will. If you're not doing all of the things I've just mentioned, you're failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die and come before the judgment seat. I really encourage you. There's a huge opportunity today to qualify for a very high rank in heaven if you take this seriously and put everything that I'm teaching you into practice. Go to the website. There's over 1,000 web pages. There's over 1,000 articles. Huge amount of information put together over nearly 20 years. In fact, more than 20 years. A lot of it inspired at some material level. A lot of it written under a material anointing. I asked Father some years ago what I should read instead of the Bible after I'd learned that the Bible was not what it was made out to be. He told me to read my own writings, so I passed that message on to you. In wrapping up, there are 5 key documents on the main menu web pages. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. 7 components in drawing close to the Creator. Recommended worship, songs that are strongly recommended. The Creator's name is You Are the Eternally Self-Existing. Where will you spend eternity? What is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity? All available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page. And they're all available at http://relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page and are physically available. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org. To be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. There's a huge amount of information there. Still much on my list of articles to write, but a lot to help you on your journey of getting closer to Father. And you can always call me. In closing, to thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know. And we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone, so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Folks, it doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how rich you are, how poor you are, how young you are, how old you are, how educated you are or not educated, what race you are, what nation you are, what color you are, what creed you are, what religion you are. It doesn't matter. He wants you to become his friend. He will meet you where you are today. If you will just get down on your knees and say, Father, you are. James says it's possible for me to become your friend. I want to become your friend. Please help me to do whatever it is I need to do in order to become your friend. Show me what to read. Show me who to speak to. Send people across my path. Help me, Father. I want to become your friend. Then it's hard work, folks. But if you want a glorious resurrected body, if you want great prestige, great esteem, great authority for eternity, you're going to have to do a bit of work in this life in order to qualify. Thank you so much for listening. Have a good night. Goodbye. Father, I